Reading from Ephesians. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Here ends the reading. Today's reading from the Gospel of John shares with us a part of the prayer of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane as he awaits his arrest. I'll be reading a short passage from the verses listed in your bulletin. Let us attend to the words of our Lord. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What is heaven like? I love this question. It's one of the more frequent ones we hear from the kids in Sunday school. What is heaven like? I don't know. I've never been there. What do you think heaven looks like? Oh, well, there are angels and rainbows and dinosaurs and milkshakes and candy and Jesus. Yes, child, that is what heaven looks like, and it sounds great. We all have ideas about what heaven looks like, right? Maybe your visions of heaven come from Dante's Divine Comedy or from Ted Danson in The Good Place. Maybe the book of Revelation has helped paint your picture of heavenly bliss, of shining gates and crystal seas, mythical beasts and flying seraphim encircling the throne of God. Maybe for you, heaven comes equipped with a mansion, robe, and a crown, as the old hymn goes. Perhaps your vision of heaven is filled with streets of gold, pudgy little Baroque angels with harps and halos, fluffy white clouds, and old Saint Peter there with his keys and the Book of Life. It's fun to think about what heaven looks like. It's the place of eternal joy, of no more tears or pain, the place where war and suffering, sickness and death are no more. But as fun as it is to build our own perfect vision of what eternal life will look like, something tells me that there is more behind the question of what will heaven look like than a detailing of what sort of amenities we can expect when we get there. What happens when we die? Is there life after death? Are my loved ones safe with God? Those are the big ones, right? Those are the questions behind the question. What is heaven like? Over the past several weeks, our preaching theme has been focused on unpacking the various parts of our worship here at UPC. Today's theme is the prayers of the people, or as I refer to it in youth group, that really, really long prayer after the sermon. Prayer is a universal tenet of religious practice. Hindus, Jews, Muslims, pagans, Buddhists, Christians, we all seek to connect to a presence beyond ourselves, a being or power that transcends our everyday reality. In prayer, we communicate our thanks and praise to God, but also our lament and our needs. And God is big enough to hear it all. Prayer is also our way of listening to God. Sometimes, many times, prayer is less about what we say to God and more about listening to what God has to say to us. Prayer can take many forms and has been wrapped into countless spiritual disciplines. Prayers before meals, prayers at the various hours of the day, praying the labyrinth, praying while doing chores, praying in nature, contemplative prayer and meditation, lighting candles, baking bread, the list goes on and on. And much of the Christian practice of prayer happens individually. It's the brief prayer in the parking lot, Hail Mary, full of grace, help me find a parking space. It's the prayer when a student opens their test booklet and put pencil to paper. It's the prayer at the bedside of a sick parent. It's the prayer for the homeless person as we roll down our window to hand them a dollar or a bag of food. And these individual prayers are important to the life of faith as they help harmonize our daily lives with the living presence of God. But when we gather in this place, we offer a special kind of prayer, the prayers of the people, or when we prepare to receive communion, the great prayer of thanksgiving. These are the prayers we all make together, in one voice and in one spirit. Even though these prayers are usually spoken aloud by one of the pastors or the other worship leaders, we all participate in the prayer, in the meditations of our hearts and speaking together the Lord's Prayer and the Amen. In this ancient tradition of prayer, we offer praise and thanks to God, drawing upon God's long history of faithfulness toward us, before we turn and offer our petitions to God. By juxtaposing the praise of God's faithfulness and our own offerings and lament, we break open hope that God has listened to us in the past and God will listen here and now. But the question remains, why offer this kind of prayer altogether in the first place? Why do we pray as a people when it would be so much more convenient to ask us all to just pray together or pray on our own wherever we are on our own time? Why do we pray together? Well, to answer that question, we first have to ask another. When we join in the prayers of the people, what exactly are we being joined to? Today is All Saints Sunday, the celebration in the church's year when we remember and give thanks for those who have gone before us, our ancestors in the faith and saints of the church. Presbyterians have a complicated relationship with the saints. Often our minds go to people like St. Francis, St. Julian of Norwich, St. Benedict, or St. Teresa of Avila, heroes and heroines of the church by whose teaching and example we receive inspiration. But we struggle, right, with some of the historical doctrines of this particular vision of sainthood. We struggle with the idea that particular canonical saints intercede on our behalf to God. You've seen those little medals, right? The ones with the engravings of saints on them. Yeah, on one side is the icon of the saint, and on the other side are the words, "Pray for us." We Presbyterians don't believe in all that. That's a Catholic thing, right? Well, take a deep breath and go with me for a second, as I don't think it's just a Catholic thing. In the Reformed tradition, we believe that all the baptized are joined into the royal priesthood of God, the great cloud of witnesses, the communion of the saints of light. Yes, that includes St. Francis and St. Teresa and those folks. Yes, that includes Christians in every church in every place throughout all of time. Yes, that includes our loved ones from this church who we remember today. And yes, that even includes you and me. And when we talk about the communion of the saints or the great cloud of witnesses, we often talk about it as this veiled presence which joins us in worship, somewhere like up there in the balcony, cheering us on and encouraging us to run the race that is set before us. But I think it's more than that. I think the communion of the saints is more involved than that. We believe that God exists in the realm of eternity, beyond and outside our human notions of time, and that the communion of the saints exists with God in that place outside of time. Even the best and brightest of scientific thought affirms that the distinction between past, present, and future is only a stubbornly persistent illusion. So if we believe this, then we must also believe that when we join in prayer together in this place, in this time, that we are praying alongside Christians from 1,000 years ago and 1,000 years into the future, all at the same moment. We are joined in prayer with our loved ones we have said goodbye to in our lifetimes, and with our great-great-grandchildren who we will never meet. So why is it strange to ask the saints to join us in prayer? We actually do this all the time. Hey, Sarah, I'm really going through a hard time. Would you keep me in your prayers? Dear Facebook, surgery tomorrow, thoughts, prayers, and good vibes appreciated. Dear Jan, my dad is sick. Will you put a prayer request in the church newsletter? We ask one another, fellow saints, to pray for us all the time. We ask a saint to intercede on our behalf every time we ask one another to keep us in our prayers. And if our prayers are joined by Christians in every time and place, then when we all join in prayer together, the temporal distinctions between past, present, and future, alive on earth and alive in God, all those distinctions fall away. When we shed the illusions of time and see the veil between life and death to be as truly thin as it is, we begin to hear voices. We hear the voices of the saints interceding to God on our behalf. We hear the voices of saints praying for us and with us. The voices of St. Peter and St. Andrew, St. Mary Magdalene and St. Dorcas, St. Francis and Benedict, Augustine and Aquinas, the voices of Saints Hildegard and Julian, Teresa and Claire, Saints Calvin and Luther, Katerina and Marguerite, the voices of St. Barbara, St. Anthony, St. David, St. Bob, St. Marjorie, St. Peggy, and St. Virginia. All these voices and so many more joined as one great cloud of witnesses in the prayers of the people. When we pray together, we are joined to the holy oneness of God, the singularity of existence, of soul, of meaning. This great and holy one, this unimaginable unity of voices, offering thanks and praise and petitions to God. This is what we are joined to when we pray together. And this is what awaits us when we die. What is heaven like? Heaven is a holy oneness, a seamless unity with the living God and Jesus Christ, bound together by the Holy Spirit with the praying saints of every time and place. And Christ said as much in the Garden of Gethsemane in his own prayer of the people. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so they may become completely one. So no, I don't know if there are rainbows or dinosaurs or milkshakes in heaven. I don't know if there are streets of gold or chubby angels. I don't know what heaven looks like. But I do know what it sounds like. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
May it be so. Amen. Friends, having heard the word of God read and proclaimed, let us stand and say together what we believe using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.